This issue that was in the Constitutional Court today. Now, it's a very interesting, you know, you hear this phrase, the wheels of justice go very slowly. and this case is actually a decade old. And it's finally got to the Constitutional Court. And the person who's going to come help us speak about it, Wendy Kahn from the Jewish Board of Deputies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Benji.
Hello and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Benji.
So, in 5 minutes, not 10 years, tell us what the case was all about.
Benji, I've got a long memory, so I can tell you, because it was a decade ago in a classroom, actually more than a decade ago, in a classroom at Wits University, a trade unionist, a Kasatu trade unionist by the name of Bangani Masuku, during Israel Apartheid Week, at the end of the Gaza War, walked into a room and he threatened South African Jewish students. He also put some very ugly comments on a blog called It's Almost Supernatural. And also there were some emails that were sent out. Essentially, his comments amounted to threats. They amounted to incitement to violence. And he has, for the last decade, tried to argue freedom of expression. He's tried to argue that he was targeting Zionists. It was political speak. It was trade union speak. Every excuse you can think of. But essentially, he has refused to apologize. And that the apology is what was initially mandated by the Human Rights Commission. As soon as he made these comments, we went to the Human Rights Commission. And the Human Rights Commission, that same year, 2009, issued a finding of hate speech. And they directed him to apologize to the South African Jewish community. He refused to do that.
Which, by the way, I think is a very important point. You know, I think it's worth talking about because in the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of hate speech cases that have come out, and often there's a monetary aspect involved. People get fined, but that wasn't the case here. All it was, the Human Rights Commission was asking for was an apology to say sorry.
All we were asking for, as the remedy was an apology, and Masuku refused. He absolutely refused, and eventually the Human Rights Commission took him to the Equality Court, and it was held in the Johannesburg High Court in 2016. It was a 7-day grueling trial. It was actually quite surreal because we had some expert witnesses from overseas, and sitting in a courtroom in the middle of downtown Johannesburg, we were talking about all the issues around Zionism. If you're Jewish, do you have to be a Zionist? Are all Zionists Jews? What is Zionism? Is it a belief system? Is it an ethnicity? Is it a religion? What is Zionism? And we had an expert from the UK, Dr. David Hirsch, and he really looked at all of these different issues, and it was a grueling process around defining what is criticism of Israel okay, and when does it become anti-Zionism, and when does it become anti-Semitism. And we also had an expert at the time, who was quite interesting, was Professor Stanton from Genocide Watch, and he described the different levels of genocide and how words ultimately lead to demonization of people, and that leads to genocide, and it leads to very serious crimes, and that we cannot condone words and just sort of shrug them off and say, well, freedom of speech. He's saying that's not okay.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, right? We don't have a system like in the States, so to speak, where it's just freedom of expression. We have a hate speech clause. And what's interesting for me is that given how much hate speech and freedom of expression have been an issue in the last 10 years specifically, this is actually the first time that the Constitutional Court has ever heard this kind of a hate speech case.
Correct. And just to get us up to the Constitutional Court.
Oh, because we're not there yet, yes.
Because the Equality Court, there was an absolute, the judgment was unequivocal that it was hate speech, and he was ordered to apologize, and he was even ordered to pay the costs, which was something that we hadn't even asked for. So he then appealed that to the SCA in Bloemfontein, the appeal court, and off we went there last year. And unfortunately, in a very, very flawed judgment, and I think across the board in the legal fraternity, everybody is quite unequivocal that it was a flawed judgment, we lost the appeal. And we then, with the Human Rights Commission, we then went to the Constitutional Court, and we arrived in the Constitutional Court today in front of 8 judges at the Constitutional Court. And what was quite interesting today was that not only were there the counsel for the complainant, being the Human Rights Commission on behalf of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, and for the defense, but there were 6 amici. An amicus is the friend of the court. And from what I understand, this is very, very unusual, that there are so many very high level, and I can just maybe share with you, Benji, some of the amici that joined the case. One of them was the Holocaust and Genocide Center. The second one was the Psychological Society of South Africa. There was the Right to Know campaign, and the Nelson Mandela Foundation.
So in other words, this case, you know, there's sometimes a phrase where they say it starts with Jews, but it doesn't necessarily end with them. And that's actually what's happened here, is that this is no longer only just about a case of anti-Semitism, and Kosatu. It's actually been other actors in the society actually saying, well, we actually need clarity and our input here.
Well, I think that that's what was so important. The case today was not just of importance to the Jewish community, and it was, because I think the consequences and the outcomes of this case are really important to our community in terms of our right to express our political views and our connection to Israel. It is important, but it's important for every single South African citizen, because What happened today in the court was we looked at the basic tenets and the basic principles of hate speech in this country. And it's so important that the precedent of this case stands up for those basic principles, because otherwise our constitution is going to be failing us.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot riding on this particular case. They set the whole of today. Does the Constitutional Court have a timeline when they come back to people? How does that work?
So it was a very busy day today, because they heard from all of these. And as I said, there were 6 amici, and there were the complainant and the defendants. So it finished at roughly about 3:30. 4 o'clock maybe. And now what will happen is we're going to wait for the judgment was reserved. And I think within the next couple of months, there will be the judgment. But as I say, for us, a lot riding on it. And that's why we put so much energy, so many resources into fighting this case, because the actual principles are so important.
Yeah. And, you can really see if you go and have a look at some of the reporting on it, if you look at Twitter, the number of high profile advocates who've gotten involved, all the kind of people who you would expect to see on a constitutional court matter, they've all been, you know, gotten involved, and a huge amount of work clearly has gone into organizing that and the papers. And I mean, I saw someone coming into the court today with papers just from one of the amici, because I went to go listen. And he was carting it in a cart. He was, you know, wasn't in a bag. It was like on a massive
thing. 10 years worth of files.
Yeah.
So, but I think, it really has got a lot of, I mean, from what we are hearing, that other cases have actually been suspended, waiting the outcome of this particular case, because there needs definition and there needs to be an understanding of where we sit with these principles. That's what the case today was about.
Well, we're going to have
and
to
I think,
keep
Benji, sorry,
just
the last thing is that this also has significance internationally.
Right.
It has significance in terms of how we approach issues around BDS, how we approach issues around anti-Israel. Globally, this has significance, and also in terms of the court, the jurisprudence that will be formed around this case will have implications in countries like Canada, the United Kingdom. Certainly, we look at their judgments in terms of our cases, and they certainly will look at this one.
Yeah, a lot riding on this. We'll definitely have to keep looking at it. Wendy Khan from the Board of Deputies, thank you very much for joining us on Chai FM.
Thank you, Benji.